Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. So we're continuing on in our theme of Lord, teach us to pray. We're going through the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to do one little part of this today. So Matthew 6, 9. The scriptures, that should be up on the screen as well. It says, "Pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for bringing us together to worship you, God, to give you glory, to give you honor, Lord, to hallow your name, God. And we're so privileged that we get to do this in Hong Kong, God, in a free country, Lord. But we recognize, God, that we have brothers and sisters around the world that are not able to do this. And we pray for them. And we pray, Lord, that in their silence and in their inability to praise and worship, God, that you would hear their prayers, you would hear their worship, God, and you would move on their behalf, Father. And so come, Holy Spirit, and Lord, and just do what you do best, God, and to love your people, God, and bring them into freedom. God, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would speak to us now, God, through your word. God, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, the Lord's Prayer is just so powerful. We know, and we've been going through this a little bit, that it is a prayer that you can recite in service, and that's why we do it here. But more than that, it's meant to be a guideline or an outline of what we should be doing daily before the Lord. I mean, part of this thing says, give us this day our daily bread. And so clearly, Jesus meant for us to do this every single day, but more as an outline. Actually, last night, I found out even how more powerful it is. And it just as a story, it brought one of our couples together. And so we started our latest round of premarital counseling class. I know so many of us have been in part of that and then hopefully soon want to be part of that. And so we had this couple. And so, you know, one fun thing about the class is, you know, we eat dinner together. And then we just share, like, how did you guys meet? You know, what's your love story? And it's always fun to hear. And one of the couples was sharing, and I mean, long story short, and you're saying that they met, you know, basically playing tennis, and thus I wore my tennis outfit today. It's not my golf outfit, it's my tennis outfit. And so, they met kind of playing tennis through some mutual friends, and then the guy was going through a hard time, and then kind of reached out because knew that, you know, this lady was a Christian who's one of our members. And so they were meeting, they met together, and I guess he had a bone to pick or something. And in the course of that, he was just saying how, you know, Christians are weak, and, you know, and that's why you go to church, because, you know, because you're weak in these things. And then this SP disciple, right, this is, you know, daughter of this house, so proud of her, she said the best line that you can ever retort when someone says that. You know, when they say, oh, all Christians are weak, and she says, yes, I am. I am very weak. And I think that kind of startled him in that moment and just kind of changed his whole direction. And then they found out, oh, actually, I used to go to a Catholic church. And I grew up as a Catholic, and I haven't been in church in ages. And then she wanted to test how much, right, he knew. And so he says, can you recite me some prayers that you learned in the Catholic church? And then he, you know, by the grace of God, he was able to recite the Lord's Prayer verbatim. And he says that I actually, even though I don't go to church and I'm, you know, all these things, I still pray the Lord's Prayer every night before I go to sleep. You know, probably better than many of you guys in this room. And then it so moved her heart, right? And long story short, they're now engaged, right? And so, yeah, you know, if you want to know who, just ask me later. I can't do this because it's all online and things, but just, you know, wow, the Lord's Prayer really brought this couple together. Obviously, you know, he's a strong believer now, or I've been coming to church, and it's just an incredible story. And I mean, with that aside, I want to encourage you guys to keep sharing your stories with one another. For me personally, I've been really enjoying our Lent early morning prayers. And, you know, our leaders, our house church leaders coming every morning. I'm using the curriculum that was sent, but just sharing their stories. I've been so blessed. Last week, Henry, you know, it was Tuesday morning, Henry was here. And Henry shared his story. Man, it was so touching. You know, and so I just want to encourage you to keep sharing this. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says, and they, the church, overcame him the devil, right? You know, by the blood of the Lamb. It's only by what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he says, and the word of their testimony. And there's something about the ability that God gives us to share our stories with one another, and it brings such encouragement, and it brings such life to us. And so, I mean, that's kind of an aside. And so let's go back to this prayer. And so he says here, there's such this beautiful order to this prayer in the way that Jesus asks us to pray. It starts, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, it starts by worshiping him, which is called hallowing his name, or lifting his name up. And then before we focus on what we want or need, our daily bread, our sins, you know, from temptation and all these things, the right order is we go back to God and we ask him for his will. We don't lay our agenda before him. We ask for God's agenda more than anything else. And so we're asked to, the Lord asks us to ask for his kingdom to come. And so the heart of that is we focus on him instead of focusing on us. That is the proper order of prayer. And frankly, we can just simply say that is actually the proper order of life around us. You know, the beauty of Jesus' instruction, he says that we start by aligning ourselves to God rightly. And if you're able to do that, I'm telling you, 1,000 evils will fall to your side. This part of the prayer deals with us. We have our own will. God's given us a free will. We have our own will, but the Christian discipleship or the Christian journey is actually to submit our will to God's will. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do every single day. And just aligning our will to God's will. You know what we call this? It's called submission. And so turn to your neighbor, right? Say, hey, good looking, right? God wants us to submit. Go ahead. Brothers and sisters, God has a will for us every single day. There are certain things that God wants us to walk in. There's a way that God wants us to walk, but he has something for us every single day. I remember watching a video. It was a movie many years ago. I think it was called The Finger of God. And this group that were really going after God and the Holy Spirit were basically doing this documentary about how God is moving supernaturally around the world. And in this one, there was this Indian believer. I don't think he wasn't a pastor or anything. And his whole life is he just wakes up in the morning and he spends time with God, and then he asks God, God, what do you want me to do today? And then they happen to be filming that day, and next thing you know, this guy asks this question, he waits on God, and God shows him very clearly, you're supposed to go to this market, I want you to go down this street, go down this path, and I want you to go to this square, and you're going to meet somebody there. And you're going to have a conversation, and you're going to lead him to Christ and all these things. And so he gets this clear instruction from God. He follows the path. He goes to this market. He goes down to this street. And next thing you know, he goes, and he's just standing in this open square. Okay, like, God, I'm here. You know, I showed up. You know, what do I do next? And all of a sudden, this holy man, you know, kind of all dressed in his garb, came up, and he's shocked, and he says, I know you. I saw you in my dream last night, right? And something in my dream told me that I need to come and talk to you, right? And then, so they have this conversation, and he shares, you know, the gospel, and this person gets saved, and like, this is his life every single day. And I was watching that, and I was like, man, I want that kind of life. You know, I mean, that's the kind of life I want to have, right? Just wake up and ask God, and but it's available for every single one. It may not be so supernatural, but our heart should be every morning we wake up. His mercies are new every morning, and we ask God, Lord, not what I should do, not what I have to do. God, what do you want me to do? Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to quit their jobs, you know, and those things, because that's what God has you to do. But in the midst of that, right, what is God doing? What is his will? This is our pursuit. He has a will for us every day, and we submit to his will, and we align ourselves to his will, right? This is what it's about. And I tell you, it's something so beautiful, right, when you meet someone who's surrendered in that way. Because we had PMC last night. That was the last thing we thought about before I came this morning. And so I was just thinking about this. When I was in seminary, you know, I was single. And so obviously I wanted to be married. And I knew a few things. I knew that I was going to be in China someday. Hong Kong is part of China. And so if you didn't know that, by the way. And so I knew that I was going to be overseas doing missions work. I just knew that in my heart. And so whenever I would meet someone interesting when I was in seminary, and we would talk and have coffee, and I'd ask them, and I was like, what do you think about China? And if they said anything negative, or they said anything like, I don't know about that, then I would just cut it short, and I would just move on to the next girl, you know? And that was, I know, that sounded really bad, but I didn't mean it that negatively. And so I would just move on. And so then you meet someone and like, oh, they've got everything going. They're mature. They're pretty. You know, they love God and all these things. But then it's like, nah, I don't think God's called me to missions. And then I just move on to the next one. You know, very simple. And then this happened for a while. So obviously it's hard to meet someone like that. And then I run into this young woman at my church. I think she's pretty cool. And so we end up having some coffee and just talking with her. It's Lisa, by the way, if you're trying to guess. Okay? I don't want you to guess. And then we're talking and says, hey, you know, I just really feel like what do you want to do in your future? Like, what do you think? And I'm saying, I really feel like I have this call to missions, and I know I'm going to be in China someday, and particularly in Asia. I just really feel that pull in my heart. And this is all she said. She said, I don't know. I don't really know, but I'll do whatever God asks me to do. I just said, done, right? Sold, right? I'm not going to move on. But I mean, there is something so beautiful about the surrendered life. There is something so attractive about someone who just says, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. And the Christian pursuit, the discipleship that we enter into is really, in many ways, can boil down to that. It just simply says, Lord, I have a lot of things on my agenda. I have a lot of things in my heart. There's a lot of things that I want, God. And I know it's important. It's important to me. I know it's important to you, but I want your will more than anything else. I want you more than anything that you can give me. This is the heart of the Christ follower. And this is what this part of the prayer is really dealing with, right? We all want God's priorities to be established in our lives. But we have to be honest in saying so many times we get sidetracked by our responsibilities and our schedules and the tyranny of the urgent or whatever comes up. But I believe that we all want to start in this place. But we recognize there is this divine order. It's going to be up on the screen. Let me share this with you. This is what God does to a submitted heart. The first thing that we come to is submission. Just simply, just using that words, we come under sub, we come under the mission of God. And so we submit ourselves to God. You know what happens when you walk in submission? Then God gives you a co-mission. Same mission, but now co, you get to do it with him. And so it's not you, you know, this is not like a master-servant kind of thing where he tells you what to do and you go off and do it on your own. No, we don't, that's not how the kingdom of God works. What happens is God gives us this assignment, we get his will, and then he does it with us. Or better stated, we join him in his will. And this is kind of how it works. So he gives you, you walk in submission, and then next thing you know, you get to go on a co-mission. You get to do it with Jesus. And then this is a beauty part of it all. When the mission is so important, the next thing God gives you is permission. In other words, anything you need to get the job done. Anything you need for the mission. Whatever resources, whatever time, whatever abilities. This is God's divine order, but it all starts with submission. We come under the mission of God. Not my mission, not SP's mission, but God's mission. And it starts there. You submit to God, and then you get to have, you do co-mission. You get to do it with God. And then when the mission is in front of you, you can ask whatever you want to get the mission done. Right? He gives us permission. It's a beautiful thing. Right? And you have to follow this order. The problem is we don't get what we ask for because the order is off. You started off asking for permission. You didn't even come under the mission yet. And so it doesn't work that way. Have you ever, and I've done this, have you ever woke up in the morning and you put your dress shirt on and you misalign the first button? You ever do that? Right? The first, and it's like, your shirt is off. I mean, you look ridiculous, right? You look unkempt, you know? You don't look sophisticated at all. But that's what happens. When we don't follow this divine order that God gives us, that Jesus gives us through this prayer, it's like, right, one button, and when one button's off, all the buttons off. And then you have to unbutton everything and then make sure it's realigned in that way. That's what this prayer is meant to do. It's meant for us to pray, for us to pray every day. And it's meant for us to simply realign our priorities, realign our resources, realign our time to God instead of to us. This is what happens in our lives. And so let's just go to this a little bit. Let's break this down. Now, you know, in Greek, when you do sentence structure in the Greek language, the verb always comes first. And so I want to suggest to you maybe a better way of doing the Lord's Prayer, probably more accurate. It reads, the way it's read in the Bible, it reads better that way, but in the original language, it sounds a little different. And so a more accurate translation of this is simply to say it this way. Our Bible says, your kingdom come, your will be done. It sounds like a suggestion. It sounds like an ask. The way it's done in Greek actually makes it clear it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And so the way it's written, the more accurate translation is, come, your kingdom, be done, your will. Again, because you've already aligned yourself, and then this is when you get to the command part, and this is what they call an imperative, it's a command. And so this part of the prayer, so you've worshiped God, you've hallowed his name, and then the next thing you know, then we come into, this is kind of the aggressive part of the prayer. We say, come, your kingdom. Be done, your will. It's a command. I mean, you don't have to shout like I just shouted. Because we don't want to equate volume with this, even though it's okay to do that. But what I'm saying is, this is the heart of this is command. You know, when something's wrong, there's a part where we command this. You know, if your child is roaming in the kitchen and they're next to the stove, right, and all of a sudden, right, you see their hand going very close to this hot stove, You're not going to say, sweetheart, pretty please, can you not do that? You know, like niggas say, hey, stop, right? This is going to be this imperative command. This is that part of the prayer, right? And let me take it one level deeper than this. And the reason why we can do it this way is actually the next verse. And he says, it says, on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to know, in Greek, this is actually written in past tense. And so what it should say is, let your will be done on earth as it already has been done in heaven. In other words, you've so aligned your life with his will, you've already have a revelation of his will that's done in heaven. And so the prayer, the command, is simply this translation of bringing heaven down here to earth. Come, your kingdom. Be done, your will. On earth, here, right now, in the present, as it already has been done in heaven. Like, there's the will of God that's already accomplished, and prayer is the currency of our day that translates the will done in heaven and it brings it down here to earth. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know there are things that God has done for you in heaven already. It's a done deal. There's things that are in your heart that you've been praying for, and God says, done. It's done. But now, what we're living here on earth, the time lapse, is really bringing this down here to where we experience it here on this earth. All right? That's what we call prayer. That's what prayer does. Prayer is this human action that has eternal and spiritual ramifications in this way. But this is why we're meant to pray. Now, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But later on, after we finish this, we're going to start doing a whole series of just kind of like why prayer is so difficult. You know, how come God doesn't answer all of our prayers? And I'm going to try my best to give you kind of a hermeneutic, biblical understanding of what is actually going on with delayed prayer. And so we'll get into that later on a little bit. And so I know that probably right now is the best time to explain that, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's a whole series coming up that's dealing with that. We're dealing with spiritual warfare and a lot of other aspects. And so we'll get into that. So I know you all have those questions, so we'll get to those questions, I promise you, before the summer is out in this way. And so this is the idea, right? Come your kingdom, be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. It becomes so important. Let your kingdom come. And so in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, let's just talk about the kingdom for a moment. He says he comes proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. This becomes such a huge part of the message of Christ. The kingdom of God, this is George Eldon Ladd. He was a professor at Fuller Seminary, passed away years ago. But he wrote a book, probably one of the most important books I read in seminary, and it's called The Gospel of the Kingdom. And it's just a whole thing about talking about the kingdom of God. And a lot of these ideas that you've heard in the church are actually George Eldon Ladd. And so, you know, the whole idea of the gospel, the kingdom is here and also yet to come. That's Eldon Ladd. That's his whole kind of theological work that he does. But he describes the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. It's the rule and reign of God. All right, this is really like the work of IJM and a lot of other ministries. Obviously, in the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, right, there's freedom, right? There's liberty. There's no injustice. And so this is talking about the kingdom. And Jesus, he comes and he says, I have inaugurated, I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom, God's rule and God's reign on earth as it already is being experienced in heaven in this way. The kingdom of God, this Eldon Ladd, the kingdom of God is already here, but it's also yet to come. This is such an important concept that I think Christians need to really understand. Because it will help you, right, to uncover and to understand the why questions that a lot of us have. So let me try to break it up in a really simple way. What Eldon Ladd, he calls it the inaugurated eschatology. What he means by that, he says the end times were inaugurated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this is a new era that's coming in this way. And thus, they're both already, but yet not, aspects of the kingdom of God. In other words, Ladd suggests that the kingdom of God is not only an eschatological gift, right, that's coming, that's belonging to the age that's coming. We think of heaven and these things, but it's also a gift that's received in the present age. Let me just read you some scriptures. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. This is the kingdom. Luke 17:20-21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And so the rule and reign of God is not just coming at judgment, right? In fact, we know that as believers, we pass over from judgment, but it's something that we can have a real, because he says the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's like happening right now. So D.A. Carson, the great New Testament scholar, D.A. Carson says this. He said, it is not necessary for the believer to wait until the last day to experience something of resurrection life. And so, you don't have to wait until your life is over. You can actually experience resurrection life. You can experience the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God right now here while you're on this earth. It's important, right? And the reason why, it gives us a framework. I mean, at least for me and for a lot of other people, it gives us a framework to understand the glory of God's power, but also to understand, right, the power of pain. And so you can have those two things actually coexisting at the same time. It would seem like that's kind of a crazy reality. How can that be? But this is what it looks like. Since the kingdom of God is already here, there's a possibility for the inbreak of the miraculous to come here into the present age. I mean, this is what it's about. I've shared testimonies over the years. I mean, there have been times, and I'll be honest. I remember one time I was speaking at a high school, and some kids in my youth group had a Christian club in their high school, and so out of that club, in fact, I want you to pray because there's a few moms, few parents, actually at my kid's school, South Island, and we're petitioning to start a Christian club at our school, and so I got one of the coaches in the athletic department, he's on staff, and so he's gonna basically be the advisor. So he already agreed to it, and so now we're going to the principal and asking for permission. We're working with Young Life. It's really exciting working Young Life, and I want to bring FCA on board as well. And so I'm really excited. And on top of it, amazing, my daughter Hannah says she'll lead it, right? And so if you could really pray for her, so I'm really excited. This is kind of happening, and we hope that this is going to happen in all schools all over Hong Kong, and a lot of it. This is really the initiative of Young Life, and so I really thank God for them to really launch this. So I'm speaking at this Christian club, and at that time, there was a lot of healing going on through our ministry. And so I remember praying for people, and there was a guy that had sprained his ankle, and we prayed for him, and he got healed, and he was so incredulous, right? So remember, he's wearing like this brace, and he can't believe that he's healed. I mean, he can't believe. So he's got one crutch, and he, with his hurt ankle, he's like, you know, he's doing this because he just can't believe it. It's like, I can't believe God healed me. It's amazing. And so the one story is there was this girl, and she had this this big lump on her hand, like really big lump. And you know, at that time, I had a lot of faith for ankles, you know, and things like that. And, you know, like colds. That's what my faith was. But like this tumor-looking thing on someone's hand, I don't have faith for that, man. And so in this case, I just acted in obedience. And I just said, you know, I mean, out loud I said, "Lord, heal this girl." Inside I was like, "Lord, please. Please help me. You know, this looks really bad. You know, like this thing is huge. God, you got to do something." And so, but outside, "Lord, you know, confidence." And so I remember I placed my hand, and my hand was like cupped like this. And as we prayed, I could feel it disappear under my hand. And then by the time we finished praying, it's like, you know, 20-second prayer. I looked, and the thing was totally gone. And she started crying. Yeah, praise God, right? That's inaugurated eschatology, okay? The kingdom of God is inaugurated by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is in your midst. That's why at different times, the miraculous, heaven comes down miraculously and touches us. That's inaugurated eschatology. That's what Lad is talking about, and that happens, right? The kingdom is already here. There's a possibility for the inbreak of the miraculous in the present. But also, the kingdom is also yet to come. So there is still pain and suffering in this world, right? This is why we pray for that kingdom to come. Do you see why this prayer is so important? We're living in the in-between. The kingdom is here, but it's also yet to come. There is an in-break that happens of heaven, of the miraculous. How does that come about? Through prayer. Through prayer. It's the people of God that say, "Come, your kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven." God, you already did something. Something is already there available for us. My dad's salvation, it's already done. It's done in heaven. Lord, bring that will down here to earth. That's what prayer is about, right? It's that in between. The kingdom is here, but it's also yet to come. And you see the importance of his prayer in this way. Right, what does the kingdom look like? Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants here on this earth. Righteousness, peace. Not peace like we see in the world. Peace meaning absence of violence. I mean real peace, like real harmony. A real love and genuine care that takes place. Love, peace, and joy, happiness, overflowing abundance in this way in the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray God's kingdom, we're praying that righteousness. We're praying that peace. We're praying that joy in our life, in your life, in your family's life, in your church, in your nation, in the world. We're praying for the rule and reign of God that's come down from heaven, right, that must be now enacted here on earth. This is a key. You pray what is already done in heaven. Now you see why you have to align your will to God's will? Do you see why that we're not meant to pray for our own needs? We'll get to that. That's important to God too. But it's important for us to align ourselves to his will because his will's already been done. And we translate that down here to earth, right? And this is why it's so important for us to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because out of that place of intimacy and closeness, God speaks. This, to be honest, this is just what prophetic ministry is. right? Prophecy, these type of things. It's just really God, it kind of gives us a window into something that's already taken place in heaven. And then he has people speak it forth, all right? So people can receive in their heart, and then they could pray for the fulfillment, right, of something that's already done in heaven, translated here to earth. I mean, that's simply the role of prophetic ministry, right? It's something that should be happening all the time, every single day. But it's imperative that as a people of God, that we must hear his voice. We got to find out, Lord, what is your will in heaven? What has already been done in heaven? And bring that down here to earth. And the reality is when you have that and you know that, it changes the way that you live in many ways, right? What we're talking about is a divine partnership, right? We ask the question, well, why pray when God already knows? Well, because there's something about the praying that releases what is happening in heaven, and it brings it here down to earth. There's something about the obedience of God's people that allows whatever is in heaven, for whatever reason, God has chosen that this is going to be the way, this is going to be the currency by which heaven is brought down here to earth in this way. I'll read you a scripture. In Mark 11, 22 to 24, he says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Again, operating in past tense. There is such a confidence that you know what God's will is, that it's already been done in heaven. And so he says, just ask. Ask, act like you got it, and you're going to get it. It's such a simple reality, right? There is a divine partnership that God wants. This is Dr. Charles Kraft. He's my professor. And I never forget when he said this in class. It's always stuck to me. And it's framed a lot of my prayer life. And he simply says, without God, we can't. But without us, he won't. Right? Without God, we can't do anything. Right? It's impossible to please God. You know, without him, he says, you can do nothing. This is what Jesus says in the book of John. But without us, he won't. And for whatever reason, right, God has chosen to work through mankind. And like I said, and when you recognize this partnership, you tend to walk in a little bit more confidence in this way. Yesterday, I remember, I don't know if it was EG class or whatever, we're talking about Lisa and I and our journey here to Hong Kong. You know, we got married in March of 2002. We just celebrated our 24th anniversary. So we got married in March of 2002. We came here in the summer. In July of 2002, and then I moved in November, she came in December, and you know, and then in February 2003, we started Solomon's Porch. And so, but through this, when we got married, I just heard from the Lord so clearly that we were supposed to move to Hong Kong. But you know, I just got married, my wife is, you know, she's doing her doctorate, you know, busy at school and all these things. And, you know, she's just thinking about, I need to get a job so I can pay off my loans and all these things. But I just knew that we were supposed to move. And so we decided to come here during the summer on a survey trip and just really, but you know, I was so calm because I knew it was already done in heaven. And so I pray, but even my prayers were different, you know. It wasn't like, Lord, please, pretty please, right, with a cherry on top. And can you, I didn't have to pray like that. I can actually command his will and his kingdom to come. Because I knew. That's the first one. I was so aligned to God's will. I just knew this is what God wanted. And so I don't need to coerce my wife. You know, I don't need to beg my wife. I don't need to manipulate my wife. This is God's will is going to be done. Now, there's a time lapse that happens. And so I prayed during that time. And then next thing you know, right? Well, I mean, I remember exactly what happened. We're sitting at Island Pacific Hotel in Shengwan. Have you guys ever stayed at that hotel? Don't, okay? It's not a nice hotel. but that was a budget. We stayed there. The room was so small, I could touch the walls, right? And so we're there for like 2 weeks, and we're at this hotel, and, you know, we're meant to see, and I said, hey, have you been praying about moving to Hong Kong? And she realized she hadn't at all. In fact, it was just like, it's not even on her radar to pray. But then it was in the morning, and she went and took a shower, and in the shower, her prayers were, well, I guess I got to pray about this. You know, I need to be honest with Sam, and because I said I'll pray about it, so okay, Lord, I'm praying. What do you want me to do? And then God just said, go for it, right? That was it, just go for it. And she's like, what? you know, there's got to align the will now. And then we end up moving, right? But notice the condition of my emotions. I wasn't freaking out. You know, I wasn't begging because I knew what his will was. That's the key, brothers and sisters. And the key is, and to knowing his will is you die to your will. You say, Lord, my life doesn't belong to me. You want to send me to Timbuktu? I'll go to Timbuktu, right? You want to send me to Hawaii? I'll go to Hawaii too, you know? Like, Lord, I'm an open book. And it starts with that submission, right? And then it's commission. And then God speaks to you about what he wants, right? Because you're so laid down already. Now, I would love to say I do this all the time. I don't. A lot of times my flesh is very involved in this process. But it's that's why this prayer is so important. And it's so important to me because it makes me come back to the priority, right? It's got to be him, right? It's got to be him, right? If it's God's will, it's God's bill, right? So no need to manipulate, no need to coerce, no need to bargain or barter, right? God will do it. It's so important. And when we command his will to be done and for his kingdom to come, we are submitting ourselves before him and trusting his wisdom, right? And his character to bring about the best in our lives. We command because we know God's will on this matter, right? And it's for the kingdom, not for ourselves. So people will say, okay, Peace Sam, That sounds a lot like the prosperity gospel. Are you advocating a name it and claim it kind of theology, right? Where like, Lord, I want a white Bentley, ba-bam, you know, and it happens. No, that's not what I'm talking about, right? And if that's your conclusion, then I did a really horrible job with this message, right? I should be fired, actually, right? This is a horrible way of presenting this, but going back to key is we let go of our own will. The name it and claim it is you want something, and so you by faith, you claim it. That's number one, I don't think that's really that biblical, right? I mean, you can name it and claim it for sure, right? When it's God's will. Not when it's your own will, not because you want a nicer car, a nicer house. I mean, certainly that could be God's will. I don't want you to lose sight of that either, right? But it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him. And when we submit ourselves to that, God says, man, I will give you the kingdom. You see this generous father that wants to give. We being evil know how to give good gifts, right, to our children. How much more, remember the Val Homer, the rabbinical argument, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's just that we have a generous God. There's a will that's there, and he wants to translate that here to earth upon every single one of us, right? The key here, is our command prayers are not our initiative. They're God's initiative. It's not based on our own will. It's based on God's will. This is important. And so let me conclude, brothers and sisters. Let's not make the tragic mistake that the Israelites made when they rejected God as their king because they wanted to be like everybody else. Remember 1 Samuel 8:7? The Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Brothers and sisters, when we pray, let your kingdom come, and we submit, we are saying, God, you are my king. My job is not my king. My spouse is not my king. My children are not my king, right? You know, my hobbies are not my king. Jesus, you are my king. That's where it starts, right? And we, as we submit ourselves to God, we're claiming over and over again the kingship, the kingdom of God reigning in our lives, right? So let's affirm that we want Jesus to be our king, right? By praying for his kingdom to come. Come, your kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Amen? Let me invite the worship team to come. We're going to practice this right now, okay? I want you to stand from your feet. We're going to command. Now, it may be different for everyone else, but this is my question for you this morning, church. Is there something, like this is there something that you know in your heart of hearts, God has spoken to you, there's been revelation in Scripture, right? Whatever it may be, you got a prophetic word that resonates with your spirit. And so there's the will of God. There's a will of God that's been already done in heaven, but for whatever reason, you're not experiencing it here on earth right now. But again, not your will, not what you want, but you know this is God's will, already done. And so I want you to just close your eyes right now. I want you to think about what that is. Maybe it's your mom or dad's salvation. Maybe it's one of your kids' illnesses. Right? Maybe it's something to do with your job. Or maybe it's your colleague that you sit next to and you know that that person is meant to be a Christian. The will already done in heaven. Now we get to the supreme privilege as human beings to partner with God. And we pray. And not begging, not manipulating, not bartering. That's not fit for the people of God. But because we have confidence in who God is, in his character and his abilities, we say, whatever that is, just keep that in your mind and say, come, your kingdom, be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. And just begin to talk to God about it right now. Right? Whatever it is. Worship team, lead us in a song. Right now, whatever it is, command. If you want to raise your voice, go for it. Right? But there's something inside right now. Say, come, your kingdom. Be done your will. We could be a little louder than this, I think. You don't have to shout, but we can be a little louder. Come on, church. Let's cry out to God in this way. Go ahead, lead us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come.
If it makes it easier, just grab someone's hand next to you. And just pray for them. Pray God's kingdom in their life. God's will in their life. And let's pray for that translation of heaven to come down. Let's just lift up right now. Let's support each other in prayer.
Father in heaven, be your name. Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same. On earth as it is in heaven, let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven, let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come.
If I could just ask us to raise our voice for a moment. There's something that's been on my heart for the last month or so. And I think there's people in our congregation that have been trying to have babies. And for whatever reason, right, it's not really happening right now. And other things have been taking place. I believe, by faith, I believe that God's will has already been established in this area. I believe that many are, you're supposed to have children, but whatever is getting in the way, I want us to pray for a congregation right now, and let's pray for His kingdom, His will already done in heaven. Let's pray that it come down right now. All right, can we do this together as a family? All right, let's do this right now. Let's just pray. Let's pray for brothers and sisters in our church right now that have had miscarriages, that are having difficulty, but we believe, we know it's the will of God that they would bring in, right, healthy babies into this world. And so they just lift our voice right now. Let's pray for our community. Oh, let's worship the Lord.
Is the kingdom yours? Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. Yours is the kingdom yours. Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. Yours is the kingdom yours. Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. And yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Oh, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord, it's not any accident, God, that Jesus, whenever you talked about prayer, the theme was perseverance, persistence. Lord, you knew there would be a time in our life, God, that, Lord, that the will of heaven, for whatever reason, is not established here on earth. God, and it's contingent upon the people of God to persevere and to pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Would you teach us as a congregation to be persevering in prayer, not to give up. Lord, because, Lord, it's so important, God, your will be established on earth, the reign and the rule of God here on earth as it is already done in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. God, enrich, invigorate our prayer life. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just lift up all these prayers, God, all these things that we believe are your will. Lord, release. Let it come down to earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We trust in you, God. We submit to you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.